It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, it's hour number two of the show, live from Lotus Broadcasting. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. I live in Vegas. It's a vibrant Halloween community for adults and children. We don't live in casinos. We don't live, my address is not on the 19th floor of a casino. I live in a suburb, and we want the kids to be careful tonight. Want you to be careful with the kids. It's dark out. This town has a bunch of lunatic drivers, lunatics that go down the streets and blow through stop signs and whatever. So be careful today. I always say that every year. Always be careful, but be extra careful tonight as you take the kids out trick-or-treating and have a good day here. I'll get to the Raiders momentarily. Final call for the Dodgers. The Dodgers win the World Series over my Yankees in impressive fashion. They do it in New York in Game 5.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for! A swarm of Dodgers on the right side of the infield. Grown men but children again, living out their dream.
Dodgers radio on the call. The Dodgers end up winning. I'm a little bit bitter because I thought the Yankees. Here's the Aaron Judge era. He made an error in the fifth inning. The ball was hit right to him. I think if he catches this ball, nothing happens and the Yankees win. Yeah, I'm going to make it that way. Cole was moving along beautifully. The game was completely in hand for the Yankees until this happened.
And it's line to center field, charging Judge. He dropped the ball. And throws to second, too late. So that'd be an error on Judge. That's the first time I've seen him drop a ball.
His first error. And he does it there in the World Series. And what a shame for Judge. And he started getting going. He started hitting. You know, shoulda, coulda, woulda radio. How great would the Yankees have been flying back to L.A. with two games in a row? All the momentum with Judge hitting and Soto hitting. And Stanton hitting. I think they would have had a puncher's chance to come from behind. Now they're a footnote. It's over. The Dodgers win. Congratulations to the Dodger fans who are out there. I don't know why I don't have Dodger fans on hold. I mean, what the hell am I doing here? What am I doing here? I'm a sports talk host. What are we doing? Are there Dodger fans in Vegas? We're pretty big with our streaming numbers in California. Aren't there Raider fans who are Dodger fans? I mean, are we going to waste the rest of this day? Let's go. We're a national radio show, man. Dodgers win. It's the World Series. Sound off like you got a pair. 702-365-9200. So we're on YouTube, JT the Brick YT. You get in here, you watch me blow a gasket every once in a while, get upset. I told Bobby before the show, we're going to be doing less and less of that. For those who tune in, as Bobby gives me the okay sign, like, sure. No, there's going to be less and less of that because the team's 2-6. If the team was 4-4, which they easily should be, do you know if they beat Carolina, the worst team in football, they'd be 3-5? You know, if one of the games where they had a lead, including Kansas City, Denver, Pittsburgh, in one of those games they would have won, we'd be 4-4. And I remember the shows. I thought we'd be 4-4. That's what I thought. I didn't say the Raiders would win 10 or 11 games. I thought they'd be 4-4, and they're not. They're 2-6. But I'm not sitting here saying the season's over. God forbid. You're not hearing me talk playoffs. But I don't want to be the fuel on the fire where people hear me and go, man, did you hear JT? He said the season's over. No. I get a paycheck from that team. And people get mad that I get paid and I have a job. People would rather see me homeless, not have a job, not have a radio show, not have a podcast, and say, JT, you're a better fan, man, because you wanted the team to lose. It'll never happen. I want them to win every game. Every time they take the field. So a couple of things here with Cincinnati. I got a lot of notes from yesterday. We did a lot yesterday exactly on what this team needs to do. I got all the stats here in front of me. And what I noticed was, first off, Cincinnati's 0-4 at home. They're not playing well. But they do have Ja'Marr Chase, who leads the league in reception yards, because Brock Bowers leads the league in receptions. How about that? and touchdowns. He's a nightmare. But there is some good news there. We have two guys that can run with Ja'Marr Chase. That would be Jack Jones. Jack Jones can do that. And Ja'Corian Bennett's having a hell of a year. He really is. So the Raiders' third down defense was pretty good until Kansas City. They had some struggles. Their defense really let them down in the last game. They were 12 of 16, Kansas City, on third down. So before you want to crown the Raiders' defense, well, it's not the defense's fault. Oh, yes, it is, against Kansas City. They allowed 12 of 16 on third down conversions. That's awful. That's god-awful. The middle of the field was open. And, oh, did I remind you? Did I remind you that they didn't guard Kelce again? How the hell did that happen? I mean, they listened to my show in the building. I walk by the desk. It's on. How do you not guard Kelce? What am I doing? Why do every year do I say it? Bobby's shaking his head. Why do every year do I say guard Kelce, put your hands on him? And get this. I'm not making this up. They literally didn't guard Kelce, and they didn't put their hands on him. Now, wait a second. If they put their hands on him and then Kelce had a great game, I'd be like, okay, they put their hands on him. They tried him. Kelce made plays. They didn't even try. They let him do what I call run like a doe in the forest. Let him just go hang around the middle of the field. And no one saw Travis Kelce. Let me remind you. He's the guy who's dating Taylor Swift. He's the guy with the podcast with his brother. How'd we lose him? How'd we lose him? I mean, what was going on there? How could that be acceptable to let Kelce run free and not guard him? Before you think you're smarter than me, which you are if you're a football player or a coach, you're a lot smarter than me, or a Hall of Famer or a former player who talked to me often, did you really think a zone was going to work with Travis Kelce with the personnel we have? Really? Like, that went through a week of meetings, and it was like, okay, we're going to zone up Kelce, and no one raised their hand and said, no, wait a second. Aren't we going to double-team him and put someone's hands on him? No, that didn't happen. That was really disappointing to me. I mean, why did I spend the whole week saying guard Kelce if no one guarded him? So I apologize. I personally apologize. Blame me, because I said guard Kelce, and they didn't guard Kelce. Now I'm saying you got to guard Ja'Marr Chase. He's hard. He's big. Like, he's a young Devontae Adams, Randy Moss. He is. That's the comp. A younger Randy Moss, Devontae. So the problem with him is he's got a great double move. Problem with him is he runs routes over the middle of the field. Problem with him is he can catch the fade and he can do the toe tap on the sideline. He's a beast. So you got to double team this guy. And depending on the status of T. Higgins, double teaming Ja'Marr Chase is evident. You have to do it. So that would be Trayvon Merrig or Isaiah Palamal, along with Ja'Corian Bennett or Jack, whatever side he's on. Do we have that? Do we understand that concept? We're going to double-team Ja'Marr Chase every play. No, we're not going to take a play off and do something else. We're going to double-team Ja'Marr Chase. We're not going to put him in a kind of a weak zone. We're not going to let him run free like Kelce. We're going to double-team him. And then if they beat us with someone else, we're good. We're not going to let Ja'Marr Chase just tear you up. He's really, really good. Also, the Bengals' offense on third down, they converted 10 of 13 on third down against the Eagles. Ooh, 10 of 13 after Kansas City just did us for 12 of 16. The Bengals are ranked fifth in third down offense. Keep an eye on that. Burrow's really good. The only team to efficiently stop the Bengals on third down was the Browns, and the Bengals won that game. The Browns had held the Bengals to 2 of 13 on third down, and the Raiders beat the Browns. Keep an eye on Trey Hendrickson. We're talking max. They have Trey. He's ninth in tackles for losses. He's fifth in sacks with 7. He's got a half a sack more than Max. Max has got 11 quarterback hits, 6 hurries. Hendrickson has 8 quarterback hits, 5 hurries. They're pretty much the same player. I give the edge, obviously, to Max because he doesn't come out of the game. So we'll see what happens. When it comes to Max versus Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's been sacked 19 times this season. He's been pressured 40 times. 40. I mean, the Raiders should be able to get to him. And I mentioned the fact that now Jacoby Myers is going to go up against Cam Taylor-Britt Myers has 67% contested catch rate, 6 of 9, forced the ball to him. And then obviously the last thing I want to mention again until I'm blue in the face, broken record, whatever term you use, is that we cannot let Brock Bowers down again. They let him down last week. They stopped throwing to him. And he went through a span where he didn't get the ball for a long period of time. That is absolutely inexcusable. If you got a grade on a test of Brock Bowers, you got a D. You can get an F, you got a D. And they got him the ball early. You know what was crazy about last game? They got him the ball early. And his first three catches were first downs. Who thought of not getting him the ball the rest of the game? Like, what is going on? Now, you can't tell me, you can't look me in the eye and say, JT, the coverage changed. No, it didn't. It's Steve Spagnuolo. He wins Super Bowls. You find a way to put Brock in motion. You line him up as a running back. You split him out wide. Will this be the first game where Brock catches a fade in the end zone? The Raiders had first and goal at the 3. They ran the ball and got it down to the 1. And then they went to Brock, or Brock would have got the ball on 4th down, but the quarterback in the shotgun faded back and just fell down like a house of cards, and Brock was open and didn't get the ball. Why aren't we running 3-step quick assassin bullets to Brock? Why isn't Brock in the slot running a head fake like Hunter, a cut over the middle, 2 yards? Now, don't tell me we don't have time to throw that ball. I just gave you how. We're going to be in the shotgun. Ball's going to come out 2 seconds. Why aren't we running those plays more? So am I saying Brock needs to get it 15 times a game? Yes. I just said it. I just told you that. He needs it 15 times a game. That's all. We, the Raider Nation, are a 2-6 team. 2 wins, 6 losses. There's no more excuses on not opening up the offense, not playing faster, not getting the ball to Brock. You're going to lose games the rest of the way? Absolutely. I don't know which ones they'll win or lose. But they're facing a team that hasn't won at home this year. And this doesn't make me nervous, but this is what's concerning to me. The Raiders, I thought, since they moved to Vegas, and all the time, even in Oakland when they came off a bad year, they're always supposed to be getting better. That's why you have a draft and free agency. And I'm really encouraged for next year, but I don't want to go too early on this because we got a lot of money. A lot of money next year. And we're going to have high draft picks next year, right? That's a lock. I don't know where the pick's going to be, but it's going to be pretty high. And we're going to have a lot of money. So we're bringing in a completely new team, most likely. Goodbye. Goodbye to the players who don't play strong down the stretch. Max is good. Max is looking at everybody in practice. For those who don't want to tackle, which aren't many. There aren't many. They all tackle pretty well. For those who don't want to play like Spillane, injured, right? Because watch out. Raiders don't have this problem. But if a bunch of guys go, it's bye week. I feel something in my hammy. I don't think that's a problem here. I know it isn't. But Tom Telesco is evaluating everyone in the locker room, in their personal life when they leave the building, how early they get there, how hard do they practice. Because Tom Telesco is going to build a new football team next year. We're not going to have this again. I mean, we hope not. It's just a bizarre year. A lot of guys got injured. A lot of starters. You know, I was telling Bobby this, that these guys got hurt and they're gone for the year. Normally guys get hurt and then they come back. Christian Wilkins gone for the year. Marcus Epps gone for the year. Michael Mayer hasn't been available all year. How does that happen? I mean, we got guys who, Malcolm Kuntz got injured. He's one of our best players. He's not coming back in week 9 or 10. He's gone for the year. So we're going to have a completely different year next year, but it's Halloween. It's the Raider holiday, Halloween. We're not talking April, man. So the guys got to play hard the rest of the way. It's Thursday. I'd like your prediction for the game right now for the rest of the show. Bill Krakenberger, America's favorite sports gambler, joins us at the bottom of the hour. So if you'd like to get through here, 702-365-9200, you got to play this team hard and beat them. They knocked us out of the playoffs with Derek Carr and Waller a couple of years ago in Cincinnati. A lot of guys are still on the roster from that. I think Levi said 8 guys or more. You got to beat a team that hasn't won at home. How great would it be? Remember, the Raiders beat Cleveland and Baltimore. How cool would this season be if the Raiders beat, they lost to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a lot better than I thought. It would be nice this year if the Raiders at the end of the year said we beat Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, right? Both of them are healthy. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, Max beat and the team beat Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. That'd be fun. Wouldn't be great, but it'd be okay. It's our Halloween game on the road. So that's where we're going. 702-365-9200. I think it's important to realize that this team, pride and poise, is not a joke. Mark Davis takes it very seriously. The team's got to find a way to go out and win and get some things done and do this. And I don't know how they're going to do it unless they find a way to step up and play well and play at a very high level. And a high level would be what they've done the last couple of weeks, which has been pretty cool. Last couple of weeks, they've come out of the gate, and they were either tied or had the lead. They either tied or had the lead, and now they're in a situation where they have to extend the lead. And they should be able to do it. Oh, one last thing, Bobby, I want to say on the record. On the record, I wanted Desmond Ridder to start this game. I normally don't go there. You know, if you've been listening to me for 27 minutes or 27 years, I haven't been in a scenario where I could say that. I covered Rich Gannon. Never heard me say I want Rich not to play. I covered Derek Carr's entire career here. 9 years. Never once did I say that Derek needed to be benched. Not once. Derek played poorly in some games, but overall he was very good. This is the first time in a long time I could recall saying, and you didn't hear me either say, sit Jimmy down for Aiden. How about that? You know, Jimmy didn't play well, but you know, I kind of was like, I'll go with Jimmy. And they played Aiden, which is okay. But now I'm sitting here saying, put Desmond Ridder in as the starter in Cincinnati where he was a star, a celebrity. Let him play in this game. I mean, he's good. He might be a lot better than Gardner. Why are we waiting for the bye week? And if we wait for the bye week, we'll see him in Miami. Antonio Pierce discussed yesterday about Luke Getsy as the play caller for this organization.
Yeah, I think it has to get better. You know, there's been a lot of opportunities for us to score points and make opportunities. And, yeah, that's on the play caller. But then also, like I told our staff and I told our players, it's all of us. It's easy to sit here and just point the finger at Luke or myself. But, you know, you look at O-line play, quarterbacks, the running backs, you know, turnovers, missed blocks, missed executions on plays, alignments and details. All those things have to get cleaned up. So, it does start with the coordinator. He's got to be the one that takes the fall for that and gets most of the blame. But it is collective.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Takes the blame, takes the fall. Yeah, a lot of Raider fans noticed that comment. What do you want to do? You want to tell Luke Getsy everything's smooth and great? It's not. He knows it. He knows what he's got to do. He's putting together the best game plan with the talent that he has. Here's Coach Pierce on any way to get Ridder in the game coming up.
Yeah, much better this week than last week. I mean, we got him in here, and we're here until 10, 11 o'clock at night trying to get him up to speed. Had a package for him, but if you really look at the game, you know, I think we had a 12-play series, a 10-play series to start the game off, and then the next time we got the ball was in a two-minute situation. So just trying to get him in the flow of the game. Don't want to interrupt what we're doing as well for moving the ball. But I think, you know, as we go on throughout this week and out the season, just got to find ways to get him in the game. He has an element, obviously, with his athleticism and playing experience to help us out.
I like that. I like that soundbite, right? That's pretty important. I think Coach wants to get Desmond Ridder in the game to see what he has. You know, maybe if he flashes really well and he plays great, not good, he could be here long term. I'm not saying that they're not going to get a quarterback in the draft. I think we all want that. But it'd be nice to see this guy play. And that's what it's going to be. It could end up being excellent. I don't remember Ridder playing a lot. I went back and looked at all his stats. But I do remember him coming into games with Atlanta where he was explosive. He was really good. And maybe he could do that. But he's not going to start. It'll be Gardner Minshew. And, again, let me make this point again. We all like Gardner Minshew. We do. You would like him. If you sat down with a bucket of Modelo's and some hot wings and sat down with Gardner Minshew, you'd probably love the guy. We lose track of that. But Gardner had a beautiful opportunity here to dominate and be great. And it's not all on him. There's a lot of injuries. And I think the injuries have affected him. Not having Michael Mayer available is big because he's an offensive line horse who can catch the ball. Devontae wanted out. He wanted out for a long time. He's not here. Think about Gardner Minshew for a second in the meetings without Michael Mayer and Devontae Adams. You think that's fair? You think that's fair for Gardner? Gardner didn't sign up for that. He'll play with anybody. But again, the criticism is fair, but you also have to hear a little bit of me when I sprinkle a little reality dust over what's going on here. Very difficult opportunity now for the Raiders to win games with the personnel they have. So that's where we're at. You know, one of my favorite interviews whenever I do it is coming up next. Bill Krakenberger. He's America's favorite sports gambler. He's a winner. He gambles big money. Big money. Every casino in town knows him when he walks in the door. They're aware of him. And he always has fun stories about casino giveaways and what to be careful for and all that. So he was available today. I said, let's lighten it up a bit and talk to him. And as I tweeted out, I think we do gambling the right way. We don't put on these guys and gals who are just there to be influencers. You know, Bobby, there's some things now called their social media influencers. So I don't mind anybody coming on, you know, television or radio saying, here's who I'm betting this weekend. I don't care about that. You got guys who are great at it. Steve Fezzik, right? You got people that have won contests. They're very good. The problem is there's a bunch of people, outliers there, who are awful. And they're scam artists. And they give out picks. And they're backed by legitimate companies because they're social media influencers. And I'm not saying that everybody, you know, gives them business. But this is the wild, wild west of sports gambling. These are the baby years. As one guy told me, I'll bring it up with Bill, this is the pioneer years. Remember Lonesome Dove and 1883 and Yellowstone when everyone went out west and they didn't know what was out west? That's what's going on with sports gambling now. Because all these companies are coming in here and they're trying to get all these young kids who are 21 and older and they're trying to lasso them in. Trying to get them in and trying to get them, not addicted to gambling, but used to it. And no one knows how to win. Literally no one. Every year there's like two guys that are over 52%. You're like, who are they? Get them on the show. Well, we got one, Bill Krakenberger, next. He'll tell you how to win, or at least what he thinks. And we have a special announcement tomorrow. Mark Jones, who runs the Black Hole, is going to come on and talk about a joint project that I have with the Black Hole in Miami. Ooh, yeah. Wife and I are going to Miami. So we're going next week for bye week to Florida. Then we're coming all the way home to interview the coach. And then we're going right back to Miami with Raider Nation. So that's going to be fun. Be pretty nice. I'm looking forward to that. Mike at La Casa Cigars, right there in Tivoli Village, right next to the DeGastaverde Law Group. If you want a good cigar, good cocktails, they carry everything that we have here. Remy Martin. I want to thank Tori and the entire team, Brody, everybody there at Remy Martin. They had a beautiful event for us last night. Remy Martin, Team Up for Excellence, proud partner of our show.
Our part as a defense is to keep them from having less points than our offense. So that's our part. So that's all that matters. That in terms of on Sundays. Between Sundays is about improving and winning the day. So today we got a big day today, Thursday. There was great energy in the room today. There's great energy in the walkthrough. I'm excited to see how practice goes today and see how we win Thursday today and then get in the meetings later and win those meetings right there. But our job, and it hasn't changed, is always to keep the offense, to keep the opposing team's offense from having less points than our offense or points of the team. So that's our job. So that job description will never change for us. I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but that's how I operate. You can see, I'm not tensed up, but like that's our job. I don't care how many points we got to keep you out.
It's Patrick Graham. He seems worked up. He's going to be a head coach at some point. He wants to play better and call better plays on defense. JT, back with you, brought to you by the M Resort Spahn Casino. That's the official hotel of the Silver and Black, the Raiders team hotel, the M Resort Spahn Casino. You know, I love talking to Bill Krakenberger. He's America's favorite sports gambler. He's on multiple platforms trying to help you win or at least stay away from the pitfalls. Crack, how you been, man? Happy Halloween. How are you?
Hey, JT, happy Halloween to you. Yeah. one of the rare nights that I actually will go out downtown tonight just to see all the lunatics. My wife and I walk around for a little while. It should be fun.
I love it. And it's great because great restaurants downtown, as you know. You know where. We'll get into let's get into the restaurant category before we get into gaming. You know, when I go downtown, Hugo Sellers, I'm a big Chef Barry guy, as you know. What are some of your go-tos there because you look for value? Could be in a casino or it could be a restaurant off the beaten path.
Well, it's funny. When it comes to dinners, it's really the quality is more than value to me for the dinners. I support a lot of mom-and-pop places for breakfast in the morning around town. But I will go to those two places there. Chef Barry's unbelievable over there at Circa Barry's. I also do love going over to the D. The D has a great Italian restaurant. I've been going there since literally they opened the door. The chef is from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The name escapes me right now. Diamo, I think it's
yep.
Diamo. It's fantastic, though. I will go there also. The Golden Nugget has a Vic and Anthony Steakhouse. I like the old-fashioned darker. So you go in, it's the dark teak woods, the old-fashioned pictures, photos on the wall. I love that place. Just in general, I do like to support the places that have been around.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Hugo's Wine Cellar, what a classy place. All the girls get a rose when mm-hmm. they come in there. It's down in the basement. It's just unbelievable. So you've mentioned we got four different places downtown to go. And, yeah, that's downtown in a nutshell, the real good places to go, in my opinion.
Bill Krakenberger is our guest. We're going to spend the most of our time talking about these social media influencers compared to what you do. As a guy who bets consistently, at times large amounts, you know what you're doing. We mentioned the other ones in town who are successful. They have the one contest or they have long-term track records. When did you see the influencers start to pop up, male and female, and they're more about lighting and their Instagram or their outfit, and they're trying to get young people, my son's age or you know kids between 21 and above who have never gambled, they're trying to reel them in and get their business.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I'll first start out with you text me about people tracking their records in the space. And, you know, not calling anyone out individually, but you're absolutely spot on with that text you sent me. Just that nobody tracks what they give out, because if their producers or the shows tracked what they gave out, they would be made fun of because nobody wins. There's not too many people in the space that talk a good game and actually win. First of all, I'd like to know they even bet their own money. Some don't even bet their own money, and that does bother me too that no one keeps records. And you know, you have to keep records. You have to be a long-term winning gambler. I don't want to know what you did the last 5 or 10 days. I don't want to know what you did the last month. I want to know what you've done for the quarter or the year. I want to know. And if that has to be exposed, there will never be a show because they'll be laughed out of the business. So going to the influencers, they're absolutely out of control. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not only men. It's the females trying to attract the young men that are 21, 22, 23, 24. You're absolutely right. Every college in America has a gambling problem. No one likes to talk about that. Ooh, Bill, be careful. You make your living gambling and you know, you're talking about colleges having gambling problems. That's right, because guess what, JT? If I lose every position I have, all the media positions and the money coming in, not that it doesn't make a difference to me, but to be honest with you, I'm still going to be able to make my money betting sports for a living. These people have to mop floors for a living because they can't do anything like gambling for a living like they supposedly say they do or they're winning gamblers. So appealing to these young crowds, to the kids, it's just out of control. The stadiums, every stadium I go to, wherever I go, the advertisements are up there. They're trying to appeal to the younger crowds. And I know what it is to be a younger crowd. I'm gambling since I'm 7, 8, 9 years old, parlay cards, and you know, playing with the local bookmaker. And it becomes real easy. And you know, it's out of control all over America now, not just in the states that were passed. Once passed was reversed. It's nationwide. It doesn't matter where you go. You're within 3 hours of a casino. Everything looks fashionable now. Everyone's talking about it. Like I said, it should be done responsibly is all I say. What I teach on my Twitter space, I always talk about responsible gambling, how to beat the books, how to win at certain things, not to bet NFL straight bets all the time, not to bet with what a lot of these idiots on TV that say to bet because they're not putting their own money up.
Bill Krakenberger is our guest. So I'm all right with the ESPN, Fox, wherever it is that when they say, all right, we're going to take one of our celebrity hosts and we're going to give them a commercial. I said it last night. I'm watching the World Series. I think it was Mike Greenberg. There's a commercial for him at a Starbucks or a coffee place with the betting. And I say, all right, he's a big guy at ESPN. He's been there forever. They're trying to build a platform for him. And they're doing that everywhere. And these are guys who typically don't gamble and they don't have a track record. I'm talking about when other companies hire these influencers and put them on their payroll. So they got to send them through human resources. They got to get them, you know, to sign paperwork. And then they let them in these companies, and then they're gone. They're gone a year later or a month later, and still, are these big companies so desperate because they're signing up gamblers at such a high rate? It costs them so much money per player that they got to get some type of return, so they'll hire anybody to peddle these picks.
The cost of customer acquisition has gone through the roof, and they probably realize that they want people that appeal to a certain crowd. The 21 to 35-year-old male is really who they want to appeal to. But actually, you want to know what's going to surprise you, JT? You wouldn't believe sometimes some of these people, they get on there, and they're actually going to influence and appeal to some of the females, the housewives. And they, you know, they talk about the gambling games. It's not just the sports betting. To be real honest with you, these big companies, they would actually put sports betting secondly, and they would like to book nothing but people that play online slots, online blackjack, and, you know, online roulette, because that's where they're making a ton of the money. It's a built-in natural value to the customer, and the customer doesn't even know how to play the games to begin with, and they're already playing a 5% game. And let me just be honest with you. I am a little bit cynical. I don't know if I'm playing against a computer or against I'll play against a live dealer, maybe. Maybe I'll do that, and I'll be able to count cards. I'll do that, but they're not going to like it for that long, I'll tell you that much. But that's who they're appealing to, the 21 to 35 crowd. But I know someone recently that called me up and said his wife's out of control, gambling every night, literally losing the kids' college money. I'm not joking. It's a sad situation, really, to hear this particular story of a friend of mine back in New Jersey. But so that's really who they're appealing to, and they're hiring all these people and trying them out. Like you said, they could be gone in a month. If that ad campaign didn't work, they go on to the next athlete, star, or you know, coach or whoever it is.
Bill Krakenberger, Crack Wins, one of the best of the best. So tonight, my wife and I are heading down to the Strip, big casino resort property, to have dinner with my best friend's mom, who's in town with their sister. And I'm gonna go to dinner, and I'm gonna park. I don't have one of these player cards because I don't gamble. So I'm going to pay to park. I used to never have to do that. Not the end of the world. But you add that to your dinner, and then they're coming out after dinner, and they're giving me a machine that starts off at 20%, 25%. Whatever they're going to ask me for the tip, no problem. I love to tip, especially great service. What is going on the casino corridor with just casinos, parking, tipping, the fees and all that, resorts fees and everything? Tell our national audience what to keep an eye on if you're coming to Vegas, and maybe AC, if you want to tie it in there too, on how to save money when you park your car as soon as you pull in.
You know, it's funny. My dad used to go to Atlantic City when he was alive, and he would not go to any casino in Atlantic City that he had to pay to park. If he couldn't park for free, he wouldn't go. And you're talking about a guy who used to go to Atlantic City with $500 or $1,000 back in the 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, because these casinos don't realize that, people are loyal to where they don't have to pay or where they're allowed to park free for so many hours. So here in Vegas, for locals, there are some casinos that give you 3 hours or 4 hours free parking. I do like that. As a matter of fact, next time I see you, I'm going to have a card for each property for you to use of mine. This way you never have to pay. But just to make you laugh a little bit. But however, you're right. When people come to town, they're not aware of these parking fees. They go rent the car, and they're already paying, you know, triple the rates from last 5 years renting cars. Now they have to pay $25, $30 a day just to rent, just to pay to park. They're out of control, but all the casinos are doing it. So, hey, it's not like they can go next door for free parking if they're tourists. So that's just something. It's another way for the casinos. It's a business within a business. They're actually generating revenue in that part of the business. It's so much, they make so much money at it that they have two or three people in the parking lots that they pay. That's their job. They're in charge of parking. So that's a business within itself. As far as the fees and stuff, the tips are out of control. Even at the airport, JT, I bought a bottle of water. By the way, I'm spending $6.50 on a bottle of water. I just said, imagine if my old-fashioned Italian mother knew I was spending $6.50 on a bottle of water. She would kill me. But yeah, so $6.50 for a bottle of water. Now, do I want to add a tip of, you're right, 20% for a bottle of water? I mean, they're trying to condition the new society, that under 30 crowd again, trying to condition them just to pay their employees more money because they don't want to pay them. It's sickening what's going on. You go to any casino now, even the casinos, all the Starbucks, the coffee shops, everywhere you go, I'm used to tipping. I love tipping. Trust me. My life, if I only knew how much money I tipped a month, it's insane. But I tip for service. I tip to keep my car in front. I tip for a table. I tip to get in restaurants. I'm not going to tip just when someone's handing me something out of a refrigerator. Well, that's not service. They should pay their employees more money. It's out of control. You're spot on.
Bill, I just want to catch one thing you said there and clarify that. So you're saying they're trying to condition this new younger generation to have the built-in tip, to say, okay, your choice on this machine is minimum 20%. I mean, I go to arenas, and I'll say it here because we're arena-friendly here in Vegas. I go to an arena. I walk up to the human being. They don't turn around. They right there pour me my beverage, and it's right there. It's $23 a beer, and they want 20% on it. So the new generation, are you saying they're not smart enough? Because you can put custom tip in and put $2 in instead of 20%. And I just think these young kids, 25 years old, they just swipe the credit card, and they hit 20 or 25, and they walk away.
I've seen it already. I've seen these kids that are there, like you're, like even your kids' age.
Yeah.
They just don't realize. They just think it's normal. Like I said, they're trying to condition the new kids to this way. But what it's doing is they're trying to make you pay their salaries. Now, I'm not talking about the employees behind the counter. I feel bad for them if they're not getting enough money. But, like, even In-N-Out Burger here in town, I see signs in the window for overnight shifts at $18, $20 an hour. So at least they're paying people. There's some of the casinos here are unbelievable. You can make more on an outside property working a fast food joint than you could working in a billion-dollar casino corporation. It's out of control. I agree.
Bill, last one, because you're a big player. I got a buddy of mine who's a big player. When he stays here, his valet parking's included. Everything's included. When he leaves, they just scrub everything because he's playing 500, 1,000 a hand, and he's playing 10 hours or 12 hours. What do you do if you're a tourist or if you're a local? You want to tip these valets. You and I were here decades ago. It was free to pull right up to the front of the casino. You pull a 20 out. Boom. You come out. You pull a 20 out. It's $40. You've been there all night. Now you got to pay. I saw $75 to valet. I was emceeing an event on the Strip. $75 to valet. Or they said valet was full. How do you deal with the valets?
You know, I actually give them money to keep my car up front. A lot of times, well, you know, I get it because I have a car that you can park for anywhere in town at the casinos. But I noticed this. Like, I go to Joe's Stone Crab, which is one of my favorite restaurants.
Yes.
There, Joe's, at the Forum Shops. So there it's like $12 or $8. I'll give the guy $20 and say, hey, buddy, here's $20. Just leave my car up front. Listen, these guys are all, I don't mean to rat them out, but they're all working for cash tips. Someone hands someone $20, $25, they're going to leave your car up front. Most of the times you don't have to even pay for the valet charge because no one's giving them $25. And these guys are making less money now, JT, because people are pissed off. They have to pay for valet. So what do? They take it out on the poor valets, the drivers. So I'll look to tip them right up front. I don't tip them on the way out. I give them a 20 right up front, leave my car up front, depending on what night it is. Sometimes it's got to be more if it's the weekend. So you're spot on again.
What a great conversation. We never talked once about sports gambling. We didn't mention one thing. So on the way out, is it harder to win with the NFL or college football this year? You personally, and what are you hearing around town from the bookmakers? Who's winning? Is it easier in college football or the NFL?
College football is much easier. The NFL this year has buried, and I mean buried, the bettors. Up until the last few weeks, literally, we had like 6 weeks in a row where the bettors lost. The first 3 weeks of the season, the bookmakers made more money than they made all of last season. That's how strong it's been. College football is easier to beat. I also like to bet football props. Something that's not efficient. In other words, the NFL market's very efficient. It's on every single network, covered by everyone. The bookmaker can get that line right. However, they're not going to get over under yards by Aaron Rodgers right because there's so many different props they have to put out. I can beat that. Beating NFL sides, nearly impossible.
You're the best. What a great conversation. Always a pleasure to have you on. I'll see you around town soon.
Thanks, JT. Take care.
Wow, how good was that? I mean, that... Bobby, if there was a podcast award for that interview, and I had nothing to do with it, it was all him. God, that's good. He just gave you the whole way to navigate Las Vegas in about 15 minutes. I mean, he told you parking, tipping, what's happening around town. And I like having, Phil's a storyteller. That's why he's so important to this space, which is sports gambling, because I think sports gambling is done so poorly. It's done so poorly because it's so young, right? I think 10 years from now, you're going to turn on a sports gambling channel. And we got great guys in town. You know, my buddy Paulie Howard, who I worked with, other guys. You got to be able to tell stories about gambling instead of just saying Fresno State, Oregon State, -4.5. This is what no one cares. No one cares what these guys are saying. They care about what the winners like Krakenberger say because he's famous for winning. So when I drive around on a Saturday, Bobby, and I'm driving to go run an errand or do something, and I hear a sports radio show, these are young guys. They're just starting in the business. I want them to do well. I've been there, done that already. I don't want them giving out picks. Their picks suck. They don't know what they're doing. They're not pros. And their program director is letting them do that because the program director is getting a little bit of money from one of these casino companies, and they're like, man, we got to pick some games. All right, well, don't let your weekend midday guy pick any games. He sucks. Let him have a guest on like Bill Krakenberger or Lee Sterling, who we had on today, and maybe give a couple of picks. And if they're wrong, they're going to tell you they're wrong. So that's our sports game. We had a good week. Bill Krakenberger, Lee Sterling, Jeff Sherman, all of our insiders who come on here. All right, I'm going to go out on the strip tonight, have a nice dinner with some family in town. My best friend's mom, that's family to me. And his sister, and then we're going to go figure out something else to do. Man, there's a lot going on in this town. Raiders are out of town. We got an early start on Sunday on the Raiders pregame show.
Guys pouring their heart out and being there for one another, loving each other, and because obviously this is a very difficult moment for us. You get to this point, you know, as I said to the guys, you know, this obviously it stings now, but this is going to sting forever. And there were just a lot of heartfelt messages to each other.
That's Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees. I'm not a big fan of him. I don't think he's a very good manager. He's a manager. He's not very good. He's not good with the bullpen. But he did take the Yankees. He was the manager of the American League champs, so that's something. But the Yankees were mismanaged. They were mismanaged deeply. The Dodgers won. I'm not making excuses, but I have the right to say as a fan that the manager isn't very good. You know, there's coaches that get or who are, you know, winning games in the NFL, and they're better coaches than them. You know, Bill Belichick didn't make the playoffs his last year. Doesn't mean he isn't a better coach than everybody in the league. But I really had a problem with Boone this year. He was an absolute disaster. You just heard I'm coming back here with Grimaldi's, the best pizza I ever had. Whenever you go to Grimaldi's, my buddy Casey was at the World Series in New York. And he said, where do I go get pizza? And John's on Bleecker is really famous. I said, did you go to the Grimaldi's, the original under the Brooklyn Bridge? And he said, no, I sent him there. And he was blown away. So he went to the original Grimaldi's. He went crazy and said, man, thank you. Real easy to get over the Brooklyn Bridge and go right there. And that's a Grimaldi's recipe. And that's the Grimaldi's that I say it's the best pizza I ever had. Five locations here in the Valley as we continue to have a great partnership with them and roll on. So the Bengal game coming up on Sunday, early start, we'll tell you all about that. We'll go heavy on that again tomorrow. I think we've done a lot this week. I notice a lot of fans are checked out. It's the bye week after that. I'm not. Okay, we got another day to get into this game. What I think is the most important thing we need to stress is that Patrick Graham and the defense, Max Crosby and Spillane, let's just use those two, they get to compete against Joe Burrow. He's healthy. He's one of the best. That's how you judge the team going forward. This team's not going to the playoffs. We know that. I hope they make a run. It'd be great to say they turned down. But they're going to get tested on the road against the Bengals team that over the last 2 years and maybe next year are a Super Bowl contender. It's a good test. And they're trying to get guys back healthy. And then after that, everybody, all the players should check out. They should. Maybe other than Desmond Ritter, who's got to learn the playbook. Everybody needs to just get away, enjoy the bye week, reset their batteries, and get ready for the second half of the year. There's a lot of football left. Q's coming up next. He has a big show in store for you because he always does. Always has great guests, great commentary. Thanks to Bobby. Thanks to Bill Krakenberger, Lee Sterling, Vince Sapienza, who joined us today. We try to still give you the best guest that we can here. And thanks for watching on YouTube, where you can sign up at JT the Brick YT. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening.